You're with Sounds Good on WKMS. I am Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte's joined me in the studios, along with Dr. Ihsan Al-Khatib, an assistant professor at Murray State's Department of Government, Law, and International Affairs. Thank you so much for being on Sounds Good today.
Thank you.
Dr. Al-Khatib's presence here is to highlight in a continuing way, as we do, lectures at Murray State University that are open to the community and fascinating. Dr. Al-Khatib is speaking Thursday at 4:30 p.m. in Faculty Hall 500 for the Politics and Society Research Colloquium. Your topic is Sharia law and the American Family Courts, and I gather it comes out of your experience as a practicing family lawyer.
Right.
Boy, that's got to be a tough business.
It is a tough business. Thank you for inviting me. The logic of this research that I did in Wayne County in Michigan is that there is a movement in this country that has this imagined issue, which is that Sharia law is taken over in this country. Now, if you look at it numbers-wise, the Muslim population in this country is about maybe 2%, 3% of the population, very small, relatively weak, unorganized, not a powerful constituency, and there is no way that 2% of the population can change anything at the national level. However, a number of states have passed laws saying that you cannot use Sharia law in this country. And the logic that they go with is that the Sharia law is anti-woman, and that if in any way it will be brought up in the context of an American court, it will be to oppress women. Okay? So my sense is this is an ideological position and not fact-driven position.
So you've had the experience of watching family courts in Wayne County, Michigan, and your research shows what?
Right. Now, my experience before I took this job 3 years ago as a professor, I was a practicing attorney. I did family law for more than 10 years, and day in, day out, I represented mainly Muslim litigants, and many of them were women. And what interested me in this research is when I heard the conversations, for example, I've heard a legislator in Kansas saying that, this law is backward, we shouldn't allow it in court, it will be used to oppress women. So to protect women, we want to keep it out. We want the judges to say, look, if it's anything with Islamic law, we're not touching it. With the logic, the assumption that these lawmakers have is that by doing that, you're helping women, okay? Now, with my background in this area of the law, I thought, that doesn't make sense. That's not how it's going on. Now, if you look at the research that is done on family law and Islamic law issues that come up, the focus in the research is on the appeals level. So they look at the cases that have been appealed and how they were decided. But the way I decided to look at it is to look at the trial level, to see what issues are coming up at the trial level and how the judges are dealing with them at the trial level.
So what did you find out?
I found out that, most cases are not appealed. Most cases are not appealed. And what will go on the trial level, you usually would not see it at the appeals level because you wait years sometimes before an issue is appealed. When I interviewed, the way I did, I focused on Wayne County in Michigan. And the reason I chose Wayne County, Michigan, is if there is a concern about Islamic law and Muslims in this country, and the way it's playing out in the court, it will play out in Wayne County because you have a big population, highly visible Muslim Americans concentrated in that area. So if it's going to come up in family law, it will come up in that area of the country. So I interviewed attorneys who represent mostly Muslim litigants. And I told them, okay, what issues do Muslim law issues come up? How do they come up? Who brings them up? Is it the wife or the husband? And how do the judges deal with them? And again, from the get-go, they say, they're very careful about saying anything that would be critical of the judge because they appear before the judges every day. Sure. It's like asking, what do you think of your professor to a student? They're concerned about what they say. This is why evaluations are done after
grades are given.
That's what we get them. But it was difficult to get these attorneys to trust me with this information. What I found out is that Muslim issues do come up in this setting, in the family law setting, but it's not the men who bring them up. It's actually the woman.
In what sense?
They bring them up in two ways. Number one, they bring them up in the issue of talaq, which is the Islamic divorce. The marriage, for many people, for most people in the Muslim community, there is a civil aspect of it and there is a religious aspect of it. When a person gets married, the many people get married civilly and religiously as well. So, for example, a Catholic will get a license to get married from the state and then take it to the priest to marry them. So now they're married legally and they're married in their church. In the Muslim religion, in this country, you have to go to the county and get the license, and then you take it to the imam to marry you. Now, once the imam marries you, now you have two marriages going on. You have the Islamic marriage and you have the legal marriage. If you want to end the legal marriage, you have to file with the civil court. Now, the civil court has the ability to end the legal marriage, but has no ability to end the religious marriage. The religious marriage is a separate matter for the imams and the husbands to deal with. That's one issue. The issue was brought up by women that they want the judge to put pressure on the husband to grant them a talaq, which means a religious divorce.
So what you were very telling, and you said that the religious divorce depends on the imam and the husband.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
So the Muslim women want to have a voice in that religious divorce as well.
Actually, it's more than that. What they want is to have a judge, American judge, to get involved in it and put pressure on the husband to end them to end religious marriage. Even though you know they have the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause, the judges have no ability, no constitutional power to get involved in that.
So what are the judges doing?
The judges, because they're sympathetic to women, even though it's a clearly Sharia law issue, they have been, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, they are sympathetic to the woman, and they put pressure on the husband to give their wife the religious talaq, the religious
wow.
divorce.
Wow.
You know, and that the talaq is similar in a way to the get in the Jewish faith, where in Orthodox Jews, you know, the man has the ability to end the marriage and he has to give his wife the get. Otherwise, she's still religiously married, even though civilly the marriage has ended. So that's one issue. And the judges, they could not directly say you have to end the religious marriage. They don't have that ability. But what they have been doing is they have been going about it indirectly by pressuring the husband, saying, well, if you don't do that, I'm going to give her more property. If you don't do
wow.
that... Yeah, and again, the concern in this country, people are thinking, oh, you know, religious law is invading secular law, when actually secular law is
invading.
And the logic is these judges are sympathetic to this Muslim woman. They feel bad for them. They think, oh, they're going to be left hanging. They can't get married again. So I'm going to do all I can do to help them.
So how is this playing out in the community?
It's playing out that the judges have been doing it for a long time. There was 2012, there was a case where the appeals court said you cannot use spousal support as a punishment. Because there was a case where the judge, which is a Muslim, who is a Muslim American woman judge, who put a punitive spousal support provision in the judgment to pressure the husband to give his wife a talaq. And the appeals level court said you cannot do that. But still, the judges, from my conversations with interviews with these attorneys, they have not given up. They are still sympathetic to the woman, and they are still willing to invade the realm of Sharia law because they feel that that will help women. So the logic, the logic of saying, well, keep Sharia law out, you know, that it's attacking secular law. It's actually the other way around. It's the secular court invading Sharia law because it will help women.
Fascinating. Dr. Al-Khatib, thank you for being with us. And again, you can hear this lecture in its entirety in more detail. That's Thursday,
yeah.
This Thursday at 4:30 p.m.,
right.
Faculty Hall
500.
Thank you very much for explaining. It's a window on a world that few of us know much about, so I appreciate it and hope you'll come back.
Thank you.